The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Monday, June 19, 2006. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, President Bush is meeting this week with European Union officials over trade issues. Also, Japan will soon be sending the U.S. its findings on consumer confidence of U.S. beef. And Canada thinks it knows why a British Columbia cow was infected with BSE. We'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will be by with a report of a new website that connects Illinois producers directly with consumers. It's all on the Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Monday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. July wheat, 461, down 1.5. September, 470, down 2. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 358.5, down 0.5. September, 376.25, down 0.5. December, 395.25, down. Make that up 1.75. And March, 410.5, up 1.5. July corn, 229.75, down 5.75. September, 241, down 6. December, 255.75, down 5.5. March, 266.75, down 5.5. July beans, 584.5, down 15.75. August, 592, down 14.5. September, 598.25, down 15.25. November, 611, down 16. July soybean meal, 177.90, down $3. July soybean oil, 24.20, down 66. At the Merck, August feeders, 113.20, up 62.5. June live cattle, 82.52.5, up 87.5, and July lean hogs, 76.92.5, up 145.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now to take a look at the markets is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt. Afternoon, rather.
Afternoon, Dave.
Yes, it is indeed the afternoon after the bell. Looks like, Kurt, we had a couple of rounds of selling today. There was one right after the opening bell, and then it looks like they came back for a smaller one, maybe right close to the closing bell.
Well, we had several drops in the different grains, that is, and as a whole, the market was able to, hold near the earlier lows, per se. And when you look at the lows today, those are near some downside objectives on the charts. The key is whether or not we follow through. Oftentimes, we'll get a turnaround Tuesday, so the market will be looking for some news to see if we can get that turnaround established or not. The key, probably news-wise, will be this afternoon's crop conditions report. Trade sort of focusing only on some slight deterioration in the crop due to the dry weather before the weekend rains, especially here in the eastern belt. But ratings are expected to drop about 2% in the beans. They're expected to come anywhere from 64% to 66% good to excellent, and the corn ratings down just a slight bit, 69%, 71% good to excellent. So we'll see what those reports say here at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It may give the market some direction for the electronic trade tonight.
Well, looks to me like a feature was in the December corn chart. We finally broke to the downside of the long side uptrend line that was sitting around 255.5.
Well, it depends how you read a chart and how you look at it. What we found has been working quite well has been the 20-day moving average, and we're quite a bit below that. If you do draw trend lines, we actually broke out to the downside there last Tuesday there when we took out those lows, and we're definitely in a downtrend, per se. If you look at the moving averages, they're all pointing red line below the green line, which indicates downside risk. The momentum indicators are down here in oversold territories where the market could, you know, possibly rally on some short-term bullish news here and see some type of recovery. You know, the main thing is the weather, and if the weather stays cool and no real threat of heat over the near term, and if there continues to be a chance of some moisture in here, it's going to be awful hard to get a big rally going until we see some reason for the public come in to buy the market.
What remains of concern is how long the funds are this corn market. You take out today, and they're still, what, 180,000, 85,000 contracts long?
Yeah, basically, you can probably use estimates anywhere from 10 to 12,000 that they sold of the corn today. So, you know, they could whittle that down a little bit. Also, too, some of the funds often square positions away ahead of end of month or end of the quarter. I don't think there's a huge amount of that taking place, because if you got a good position going or position on, why get out just because of the end of the month and end of the quarter? I don't totally buy into that 100%, but there's probably a little bit of that taking place. But they'll definitely be a market maker here, because whenever they do get some signals, they need to go with them, because they are mechanically inclined. They got a program they need to follow, and the tendency is to follow the moving averages, so we need to keep an eye on those.
Meanwhile, over in the soybean pit, the November's breaks both the 50, 20, and 100-day moving averages for, I guess, the second time in a month or thereabouts, and you got to begin to wonder if this is the time that they will actually press the downside under $6.
Well, if you look at a chart, we've basically... You know, clear back to last August, and we haven't gone anywhere. I mean, we
very sideways.
Very sideways. We formed many a pennants, broken many a trend lines, and there's just no follow through. Whether we go on down from here, we'll see. But right here at the 612 level, I know we closed just a penny below that, is sort of a benchmark to go by. If we don't hold here, we could very easily slip down to $6. You know, if you take out $6, you can talk about 580, 585. But the beans are wanting to hang in there. For what reason, I don't know. Fundamentally, we've got ample supplies around. Fundamentally, you know, you talk about outside markets. Well, gold's in trouble. Your metals are in trouble. Your energies are in trouble. And, you know, I think it's a matter of time in here before beans slowly rode away. You know, the best piece of advice we've taken and promoted here as a producer hedger, we've forward contract, move a lot of beans. We've replaced ownership, encouraged to price ownership too in the November call options. If we get some hot, dry weather or rust, the funds will come in, both guns a-blazing, wanting to get on board. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry, I want to buy beans. Beans is a glamour crop to buy on weather scares or production scares. But the problem is, as a producer, you go, man, that sounds great. I was hanging on my beans, but that's not going to work hanging on to the cash. The funds will buy paper. They won't come to your farm and buy your beans from you. And the commercial will widen the basis out. Because as the corn crop stays in pretty good shape and the wheat crop gets harvested here, we're going to have a storage situation here this fall where the basis is going to be extremely wide. And so most of the action is going to be to the upside. So we're promoting the idea to use the strength to get the cash sold. In fact, you need to be a buyer of grain this fall. You need to go to the elevator and bring grain home instead of taking grain to the elevator, because I think cash grain as a whole is going to be a good buy this fall due to the wide basis, and hang on to it into next year, because as we get into 2007 with this increase in demand, I think, you know, the big rally will be next year versus this year.
Thank you very much, Kurt.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Kurt joins us every Monday afternoon during the closing market report and Monday mornings during our opening market report. Taking a look at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast, he reminds us a severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for much of central and eastern Indiana until 8 o'clock Eastern time. Otherwise, tonight in northern and central Illinois and northwestern Indiana, clear to partly cloudy. Elsewhere, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms during the evening hours, otherwise partly cloudy, lows from 58 to 68. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine with scattered showers and thunderstorms, most numerous during the afternoon, highs from 78 to 92. Tomorrow, wind speeds across the two-state region, 5 to 15 miles per hour. Minimum relative humidities of 40 to 55%. And Ed tells us scattered showers and thunderstorms will continue on a daily basis through at least Thursday in Illinois and Friday in Indiana. In agricultural news, President Bush hopes to kickstart the Doha round of world trade talks when he visits Europe this week. But major issues remain over cuts in farm subsidies. In the president's words, the Doha negotiations are at a critical moment. Now is the time for the world to come together. European Union Trade Commissioner Peter Mandelson says he looks forward to the president's participation at the EU-US summit. But Mandelson continued to reiterate the U.S. is demanding too much from Europe and developing countries without giving enough in return, especially in the area of domestic subsidies. Japan says it hopes to send U.S. officials this week a report on public hearings on the safety of U.S. beef. A series of 10 public hearings around Japan concluded last week. Opponents of reopening the border to U.S. beef have questioned in the meetings the effectiveness of U.S. safety measures, while accusing Tokyo of putting a higher priority on pleasing Washington than protecting its own citizens. Japan's prime minister visits the U.S. on June 29th. USDA is expected to approve additional counties in Nebraska for emergency grazing on Conservation Reserve program acres. Bob Nagel is executive director of the Kimball County Farm Service Agency office. He says producers using CRP acres can expect a spike in the rental payments later this year.
A producer who grazes his CRP acreage will take a reduction of his annual rental price on those acres that are grazed at 25%. And in the past, there was one year where the USDA came out afterwards under a ad hoc disaster declaration where the government refunded the funds back to those producers that had participated in that. But as of right now, if you sign up to and are approved to emergency graze your acres, we're going to reduce your payments that we issue you in October by 25% on those acres that you graze.
And speaking of the CRP, groups representing the interests of hunters, anglers, fish, wildlife, and conservation say they're concerned with the idea of taking acres from the Conservation Reserve Program to grow and harvest biomass crops. They've written a letter to Congress asking to have a seat at the table if and when Congress considers biomass production proposals. Meanwhile, a Washington, D.C. research firm says the future of biofuels will depend on the development of biomass. The World Watch Institute study says cellulosic biomass has the potential to dramatically expand biofuels. The study says currently cellulosic ethanol is not cost-effective, and it concluded that large industrial nations like the U.S. will likely be unable to fill all their own energy demands through biomass conversion. Canada has concluded its investigation of a British Columbia cow discovered this past April to have mad cow disease. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency says it's likely that vehicles used to ship cattle feed were contaminated with the prions that caused BSE. The University of Minnesota Extension Service announced Friday that it has discovered soybean aphids in northern Minnesota. This marks the earliest date soybean aphids have ever been discovered in northern Minnesota. Aphids have also been discovered in western Wisconsin. Bill Halfman is with the University of Wisconsin Extension. He says no need to spray yet.
For one thing, when I was out there, the aphid numbers were very low, but they are there. And I guess that's the key thing that we're aware of, the fact that, yeah, they're here, and it's sort of time to start monitoring them and seeing what's going on. But generally, the most important time to protect the soybean plant from the aphids is during reproduction stage, and we won't get into that. for another couple of weeks. And so there is, you know, no justification to be throwing insecticide into sprayers and running around out there spraying fields at this time, because we have much too long of the season left, and Mother Nature, in the meantime, could put the whammy on the aphids itself and save us the problem.
Halfman says emergence of Asian lady beetles may hold down the aphid numbers. The CEO of the National Association of Wheat Growers says a lack of biotech wheat varieties is a key reason wheat acres in the U.S. has fallen dramatically over the last two decades. Darren Kopic says biotech research is crucial to the future of the wheat industry.
We view the fact that the acres, or the crops that we're losing acreage to, where they're expanding and we're contracting, are those crops that have biotechnology available in the portfolio, primarily corn and soybean. And when drought-tolerant corn comes out on the market in a few more years, we think that that trend will accelerate if we have not done anything in the interim to address those challenges.
According to Kopic, having a wheat variety with an important trait will be a key to gaining acceptance for biotech wheat. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Fresh farm eggs, meat, produce, and other products from Central Illinois producers are just a click away on a website created to help consumers connect with farmers close to home. Todd Gleason files this report on Farm Direct.
The website where you'll find directions to locally grown Illinois farm products is www.aces.uiuc.edu/ASAP, or ASAP, which actually stands for Agroecology Sustainable Agriculture Program. I'll repeat the website in just a bit. First, though, you should know it's an online version of the first edition of the Central Illinois Farmer-to-Consumer Directory, Farm Direct for short. The website is built for visitors looking for a place to buy farm-fresh foods, from eggs and meat to vegetables, says one of the co-creators, a University of Illinois' David Onstead, who works in the Agricultural Ecology's Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences, says the site was built as far more than a simple marketing ploy for farmers who probably don't have an advertising budget.
Well, certainly we're not trying to make this a simple advertising mechanism for farmers. Our main audience is the consumer. We feel consumers are finding it difficult to find these smaller farmers, and we feel that the University of Illinois has always had a role of teaching farmers and consumers about the food system, agriculture, and teaching farmers about marketing. And we're just trying to provide a small effort to bring the consumers and the farmers together.
Honestly, it's a pretty darned good effort. If you have access to the web, you'll find the Farm Direct website really easy to use. On the homepage, there's a map of 25 Illinois counties, stretching north to south from Peoria to Springfield, and then east to the Illinois-Indiana border. Click on any county, and you'll find a listing of local farms and the products they sell. Or if you have something you're particularly interested in finding, like blackberries or flowers, just click on the corresponding icon, and a complete list of farms selling those types of products will pop up. Each entry also includes the name, address, and phone number of the farm business, some having a website of their own. The only criteria for a farm to be listed in the Farm Direct site is that the products be sold directly to consumers. Lawrence Mate works for one of the organizations, Prairieland Slow Food, that partnered with the U of I to develop the directory.
The only criteria for being listed was that, you know, they were a local producer who was selling directly to consumers. And so that includes a number of organic producers, but it's certainly right, not exclusive. The idea is just that, you know, people can find what they want in the directory. If they want, you know, to be buying only organic strawberries, for example, because they're concerned about, you know, pesticide residues on their strawberries, they can find that. But if they're not concerned, you know, or, you know, they're more concerned about finding somebody within their immediate neighborhood, you know, they'll have those listings as well.
The Farm Direct website also includes a listing of farmers' markets and community-supported agriculture businesses in Central Illinois. A community-supported agriculture is also known as subscription farming. Customers buy a subscription from a local farmer, much like a subscription to a magazine, but instead of a magazine, they receive a predetermined amount of fresh, locally grown or raised fruits, vegetables, eggs, and or meats. The Farm Direct website can be accessed by pointing your browser to www.aces.uiuc.edu/ASAP. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, as I looked at the bids this morning, I see that for corn, Peoria was 5 to the good side, 15 under the July, and the soybeans, we see Peoria improving by 1, and we see Quincy on the River improving by 1. We see Bloomington going 8 to the bad side, down 29 in the July contract. Now, what are you doing and seeing in spot basis here in Champaign County?
In Champaign County, we're seeing the basis, Dave, kind of firm as we try to encourage old crop movement off the farm. Obviously, with the board being down significantly the last week to 10 days, I think we've taken out 25, maybe 30 cents in the corn market. And guys right now are sitting back and wondering if we're ever going to get back to where we were at those levels here, say, a couple months ago. But with the weather outlook being wet and conducive for good crop development, the board's been under pressure. So the basis has had to do some of the work to encourage some selling.
What prices are producers asking for corn? 240-ish?
I would say 240 was their target. They may have to adjust that now because we're significantly lower than that here, maybe, say, a couple weeks ago. But generally, I think for old crop, the 240 to 250 area was a target at one time. But like I said, things have really taken a little tumble here in the last couple of weeks.
And what about the beans? Is that still $6? Is that the mindset?
Well, I think it was, but I yet again, just like the corn, I think maybe more catered towards the beans. They're really going to have to adjust their target levels for any old crop left. Now that we've seen favorable development of the weather, we have bearish demand-supply tables heading into this crop year for beans. The fundamentals aren't very positive, and I just don't anticipate old crop getting back to the $6 level in the near future.
How much of the corn is still under loan?
That's a good question. I would say maybe 30 to 40%. I think a lot of guys that have kind of waited to see with the rallies in the acreage report at the end of March, with generating some bullish steam, holding on a little bit longer maybe than normally in the past, and there's quite a bit of carry in the market, so it wouldn't be surprising if they held on as long as they could and possibly even bought back and carried through into the harvest. We've had many guys indicate that they may look at additional bin space rather than move the grain at this time.
What about your prices today, sir?
We are at 220 for cash corn. Fall is at 231. Cash beans, 569. And fall beans, 586.
Thank you very much, Brian.
You bet. Thank you, Dave.
Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. The Andersons join us every Monday afternoon for cash grain analysis here on the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The leader of a petition drive to form a mass transit district in southwest Champaign says the group needs now to form a board of directors. A judge officially recognized the Champaign Southwest MTD earlier this month after voters in March approved a referendum. Scott Tapley says Champaign County Board Chair Barb Wysocki needs to appoint a board of directors for his group before it can return to court. The Champaign-Urbana MTD has tried to block the separate mass transit group from forming. The Southwest group says it was forcibly annexed in and wants to decide busing issues on its own. Vigo County, Indiana prosecutor Bob Wright says he'll seek the death penalty against the 33-year-old Tara Hoatman, charged with murder and the death of his 4-year-old son. Catron Walker is also charged with attempted murder for allegedly trying to kill his 2-year-old son after abducting the boys at knife point last Tuesday. Christie Clinic says it will build a new medical facility in northwest Champaign to replace its current main facility in downtown. The new medical campus will be near the intersection of I-57 and I-74. It will house many Christie Clinic specialty physicians' offices, as well as a newly proposed ambulatory surgery center. Groundbreaking is expected in the fall, with a hope for opening in spring of 2008. Christie Clinic says it will sell its downtown Champaign property to the Atkins Group for new development. Lawyers in Illinois are being told they must report any pro bono work they've done in the past year under new rules outlined by the state Supreme Court. The rules that took effect last week are aimed at encouraging more attorneys to do more free legal work for the poor. Attorneys must report annually whether they've done any such work in the past 12 months, the number of hours, and amounts of contributions to legal services organizations that help the poor. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Are we in a scattered and frequent shower and thunderstorm pattern across the Corn Belt?
Well, we are in that. I don't know how frequent it would be, but we are in a pattern that will feature some scattered thunderstorms across the Midwest from now until late on Saturday. And when we add up everything over the next 5 or 6 days, coverage of significant rainfall in the Midwest, and our definition of that would be amounts over 0.3 inches, will come in at about 40% of the corn and bean belt from now through the weekend.
What about the second week?
Well, it looks like that week you're going to go into what we call more of a northwest flow type of a pattern, which simply means that the jet stream will be running from northwest to southeast across the belt, and that typically is a drier pattern as Gulf of Mexico moisture is cut off, but it doesn't really feature any kind of extreme heat across the belt. So the final week of June looks like it will be a cooler week than what we've seen recently, but a relatively dry one.
So do we get net drying in western and northern parts of the region?
Oh, I think so. On average, I think more areas will tend to see a decrease of soil moisture rather than an increase in soil moisture through the end of the month. So in other words, across the belt right now, we have a very mixed bag in conditions, some pretty dry conditions across parts of the Midwest, other areas that are in fine shape. But we don't have any real extreme heat here through the end of the month, so no real heat stress. And as is always the case, I suppose, it always comes down to what's going to happen in July. And, of course, you know, what happens in July will be crucially important, especially in some of these areas that have been drying out recently.
Speaking of stopping drying, is that what the situation down in the Delta is going to be?
Well, they will tend to go drier this week, but over the weekend they did get some pretty beneficial rains across portions of the Delta. A little over half of their acreage got some rain, and that was badly needed rain as conditions had been quite dry there since the middle portion of May. So that will greatly benefit their crops down across the region. They, of course, will be in need of more rain as we go through the next 2 or 3 weeks, but that the shot of rain that they got over the weekend, which actually came out of the Gulf of Mexico, was a very important shot indeed.
It's a crucial time for crops over in east central China. Are they going to get some rain this week?
Well, we think they are going to get some rain, and we really think that the areas that are having problems right now are very few and far between. And overall, across areas of China, the vast majority of the acreage is in decent shape right now, and we really don't think there's any kind of major issues across that zone.
What about over in Australia?
Well, in that region, dryness has been an issue across many of the regions there as they continue to plant their winter wheat crop both across eastern and western sections of Australia. And with relative dryness continuing at least through this week, that is going to be an item that continues to cause more and more concern.
And before I let you go, let me take you back to the U.S. and ask what is up in the wheat belt.
I'll tell you that the area to watch over the next week or 10 days is going to be the spring wheat belt up across the Dakotas and Montana. We think next week is going to be a pretty hot week across those locales. And with the crop just going into that yield-sensitive heading period, you know, that will likely stress the crop and certainly could reduce yield potential for the final week of June as heat builds into Montana and at least the western portion of the Dakotas. So that's one of the areas in the U.S. to watch through the end of the month.
Thanks much, John.
My pleasure. Dave.
John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, cash grain report, and weather on the web. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.